This conference is being recorded.
Hi, who just joined us?
Sorry, this is Cindy.
Hi, Cindy. And where do you live?
Calgary.
Calgary. Okay. Do you know who your director is?
Rhonda Kotowski.
Ah, perfect. Rhonda, look at you.
I threatened them. No, I'm kidding.
I love
you
it.
You only knew.
That's great. Okay, we're going to get started. So if anyone else is joining us, feel free to jump in if you have any questions. Once again, my name is Allison Suter, and I'm based out of Edmonton, Alberta. I'm a senior director there. And I have a guest helper here. Her name is Laura Neufeld, who also lives in Edmonton, and she has been working at an accounting firm for the past 2 years. So she's here to make sure that what I share is pretty much on the dot there. So hopefully I'll just kind of go through some, suggestions of what I do anyway for keeping track of my taxes and expenses. And then I'll kind of just open up the floor in case you guys have actual questions. And hopefully between the two of us, we'll figure it out. If not, we can always get back to you with the information, okay? How does that sound?
That's good.
All righty. So I know when I first got involved with Beauty Control, it took me quite a while to get organized. So a lot of this I've learned through other directors and also Cindy Kaliba. She's my director. She's really good at teaching stuff that she does personally. So a lot of this is taken from her, and hopefully it will be practical enough for you guys too. So I guess the first thing to get started is hopefully all of you have a separate bank account just for Beauty Control. And what that allows is it really you get a chance to see just how much money you are bringing in that is coming from the Beauty Control source of income. Otherwise, if you keep it all mixed up together with the family funds, it's really hard to distinguish, okay, well, how much did I actually make? And it doesn't seem like I'm making any money here because all of a sudden you're spending it on everything as opposed to explicitly where you intended to spend the money. So I guess that's my first tip is make sure you have a separate bank account. And one of the cheap ways that I have my bank account through is PC Financial. They're an online bank, so they don't have a brick-and-mortar store, but you are allowed to use the CIBC instant tellers to make deposits and withdrawals. So I have a savings account as well as a checking account through PC Financial, and that's how I manage my Beauty Control funds. Okay, my next tip would be ideally to have a separate credit card, again, dedicated just for Beauty Control purchases. So this is, I have a separate card, again, with no other service charges or fees associated with it. And mine happens to be a Mosaic card through Bank of Montreal, but many companies now or banks are offering really low fees or no fee credit cards. So if you have a credit card dedicated to Beauty Control, what that allows you to do is really manage all of your expenses on a monthly fashion. So when I get my statement in, the first thing I do is I tally up, okay, how many of these expenses go to office expenses? How many of these expenses go to business meals or business trips or inventory purchases? And so I actually summarize everything right on each of my MasterCard statements because I know that everything on there is dedicated to Beauty Control purchases. Now, having said that, I also keep my gas purchases or anything to do with the car on this as well because a percentage of that, depending on how many kilometers I've done to for business versus personal, can also be claimed as a legitimate expense. So again, consider getting a separate credit card if you haven't already. So now comes how to set this up.
Anything else in?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. One other thing just to add about the credit cards is that if you're using your credit card for Beauty Control purposes, but it's like your everyday credit card, it's going to be kind of hard to figure out if you are paying interest, how much interest actually relates to Beauty Control. So if you have a separate card, then all the interest on that would be like Beauty Control, and it's therefore also deductible.
Veronique with Rhonda Kotowski.
Okay, perfect. That's another great reason to have your own credit card separate just for Beauty Control is that if you have to carry a balance, which hopefully we don't, but if you do and you are incurring interest, then that can be explicit to Beauty Control. Okay, so the other thing that I do, and I copied this right off of Cindy Kaliba, is I've gotten some large envelopes, so like the 8 by 11 envelopes, those large ones, and each one of the envelopes is labeled. So one, I have MasterCard on the outside. One, I have Direct Energy, Beauty Control Inventory, Customer Sales, Beauty Control Commission Checks, Welcome Wagon, Epcor, Car and House Insurance. Then I have one called Taxes 2008. So by keeping these large envelopes, what it allows you to do is to keep all of your receipts or your bill payments, they all go into their respective envelopes. So say, for example, oh, the direct energy bill comes in and I pay it, I automatically write the amount and the month for which I just paid and I put it in the envelope. What that then does at the end of the year, instead of having to touch that paper again, I can literally just add up things on the outside of the envelope, and it's much easier to keep organized, especially if you when you keep your documents for, you know, what it is, 5 to 7 years after the fact. It's really organized. So the next tip, I guess, is to get about however many envelopes you need to organize yourself. One that stands out is that's a little bit different is, again, the MasterCard or your credit card. So this is where I keep track of all of my expenses. Because I'm paying all of my expenses with this credit card, when I go to write on the outside of the envelope, I'm just writing that summary that I've done on each credit card statement. So then for the month of November, I can look and see, oh, okay, so I spent $50 on office supplies this month. Then that goes under the office supplies line on the outside of my envelope, and I just literally go plus $50. And then at the end of the year, I literally just add up all the pluses, and then I have a summary within each expense category. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. The only other envelope I'll explain in more detail. So all these envelopes operate under this fashion. I have one set aside called Taxes 2008 or whatever the current year is. If you're getting some feedback, it's probably because you just have to hit the mute button on your phone or, what is it? It's a *6 if you want to mute, if you have some background noise there. So the Taxes 2008 envelope, what I put in there are all the receipts that I have to give to my accountant to prove whatever I've claimed. So things that go in here are, let's say, donation receipts, if I've done any donating throughout the year. So whether that's to a church or to some kind of nonprofit organization, they often will give you proof of payment for your donation. You want to submit that with whatever you give your accountant. Any T4s, like if you're getting commissions from Beauty Control, you should get an annual summary at the end that summarizes all the gifts and commissions that they've paid you. Any investments, RRSP documents would go in here, and then the cost that it did if you pay someone to do your taxes, that receipt should go in there as well. So things like that that are your accountant will want to see to do the taxes for you. Okay, so now let's talk a little bit about mileage and the car usage. So I know it's a pain in the butt, but truly to cover your butt, what you'll want to do is stop by Staples or one office store and get a logbook to record your mileage on your car. So you want to record the starting kilometers and the ending kilometers and whether it's a personal or a business trip. And what that'll do for your accountant is she'll be able to add up all of the mileage that you spent, let's say, for business, and then figure out a percentage of all the car costs that are legitimately able to be written off for the Beauty Control business. Now, let's say, I haven't done that this year. Then what you want to do is you want to spend some time with your calendar and MapQuest and figure out the approximate distances that you have spent on at least the spas that you've done throughout the year so you have a ballpark idea of kilometers. This is just important because that often it'll be, if it's too extreme in what you're claiming, that can be a red flag to get audited in some cases. So you'll want to make sure that you are keeping an accurate log of your car expenses that way. What else? Okay, so now in terms of keeping track of sales done throughout the throughout the year, Beauty Control has already done this for you. Under hostess information, under forms online, you can print off one of the pages of the 12 monthly tracking sheets. The monthly tracking sheets. I like to print off 12 of those so I have enough for each month in the year. And then that way you can just totally keep track of, you know, what your customer, who your customer was and what items they ordered, and then the cost it was for you to do that spa. So it's a great way to keep track of all of your sales really in an orderly fashion. And if we do it on a monthly basis, it's far easier to maintain and manage than if you're doing it all at once at the end of the year with all these papers and receipts flying around. Now, in terms of managing expenses, there's kind of this weird area of product, right? So, of course, there's product that we sell. There's product that we use personally. There's product that we've given away as gifts. There's products maybe that we've had to expire because it's no longer, you know, for whatever reason, we've had it on our shelf too long or we're just not no longer going to sell it. Because Beauty Control, we're covered under the Direct Selling Act to use their existing GST number, we don't have to worry about all that GST stuff. But if you think about it, if we're using up products personally or giving them away as gifts, we've been charged GST on those items. So this is the way that you can collect it. So if you just have a separate sheet or if you want to have a COIL book and just document the retail cost, now the actual retail cost that is on your invoice from Beauty Control. So for example, if you got something on sale, like the other month I got some of those vitamin C capsules for $20 retail, that's the retail price that I would write down, even though I sell them for $40. So you always want to write down the actual retail that Beauty Control documented on the invoice. And that's, you can keep track of the GST that would have been paid out on that amount. And then that can be claimed as an expense as well. And I think, I won't go too much in more detail about that. But that's basically just GST not collected, so that can be an expense as well. What else can I tell you? Does everyone have a pretty much a good idea of what are our legitimate expenses? So gas, for example, or any maintenance on the car, depending on your kilometers, that percentage can be used to claim that percentage from those costs as a legitimate expense with Beauty Control. Team gifts, if you're a leader on the call and you're giving away team gifts, keeping track of that, whether it's product or any little gifts or cute things that you bought at Sam Moon's, for example, those are legitimate expenses. Of course, all of your sales aids that you're buying from the company, those are legitimate expenses. Business meals, there is a maximum that you can claim in business meals, but if you have the receipts to back that up, that should be fine. Office and, of course, what else would fit under that category? If you have any extra little marketing things that you do, like for myself, I have a Welcome Wagon account. That's another legitimate expense. So just think of different things that you're doing to run your business. And now earlier on I mentioned about keeping track of like your gas, your water, and your other house expenses. So here's how that works if you don't know already. That is based, you can claim a percentage of that, of those expenses based on the dedicated amount of your house that is dedicated as an office to Beauty Control. So, for example, for me, I live in about an 1,100-square-foot home, and I have a maybe 8x10 room that I've dedicated as my office space. So that square footage is the percentage that I can claim of those house costs. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yep. I just don't want people to think that I can claim all of my, you know, phone, all of my cable, all of my whatever, because you can't. It has to, of course, be just the percentage that is related to business, and I think that's clear.
Okay, that's rent, utilities,
right,
okay.
Mortgage, all that kind of stuff. A percentage of that, based on what amount of your house is dedicated to Beauty Control, can be claimed of those
There's a form on the Government of Canada website, T2124. It's a statement of business activities. There's also a T2032, statement of professional activities. You can use either one, probably the T2124. And that calculates all of your business activities, everything that you would that you've talked about already, including your utility deductions.
Brilliant. Thank you for that. This next thing is just about managing receipts. I know it's hard to get to all of what we just spoke about if you're overwhelmed with all these papers flying around, or maybe you don't have them in a very organized fashion. So I've already spoken about the envelopes, but really the collection of receipts has to kind of start in your purse. And I know, I'm sorry this sounds really elementary, but I know if you've ever looked in people your friends' purses, it's pure chaos. So I just recommend something that I do is I earned one of those little wallets from Beauty Control, and I just reserve that just for my receipts. And so even those little dollar store receipts, those really add up. So I try not to chuck them. So you just kind of put all of your receipts into a dedicated area in your purse, and then either once a week, clear it out, and then put it in its respective large envelope. If you're really good, you'll actually staple your receipts to the respective MasterCard statement that it was charged on. But otherwise, you can just shove it into the envelope, and then that way you have the proof of what you're claiming on your returns. So that may be kind of basic, but I know some people are just really overwhelmed with all these little receipts flying around in their purse. And, of course, keep your gas receipts.
Another thing that I'd like to do is I have an accordion file. An accordion file can be monthly or it can be daily, 1 to 31. And you can put in your receipts in the 1 to 31 one every day. And then at the end of the month, if you don't want to do it every day, but at the end of the month, you take out each day, you can calculate your receipts and put them in their respective envelopes at that point.
Perfect. That's an extra addition. That's a wonderful addition to that system. Whatever works for you, so long as you have, just the receipts matter. So I guess any way that you want to keep track of those, that would be great. The last little tip I want to give you before I kind of open up the floor for any additional questions is just the thing that running your own business and we forget about is paying taxes. Now, some of us might, I think most of us are leaders on this call, meaning you're either DIQ or higher. And so often we have to pay taxes kind of all at once at the end of the year. But you can actually add your SIN as a bill to pay online, and then that allows you to do direct payment to the government for your taxes in a more in smaller little chunks, whether you want to do that monthly or whether you want to do that quarterly. Then you'll get a summary sheet from the government saying how much you have actually paid to date. And if you have overpaid, then, of course, you get that back. So one of my habits is I just automatically take 20% off of my commission check because that's not my money, it's the government's money, and I've just set up my SIN right as a bill to pay, and I just take that off right away. And then I also keep track of my customer sales too, and I take 20% of that and I set that aside so that if there is additional payment of taxes on top of what I'm doing off of my commissions, that I'm ready to pay for that. Otherwise, it can be overwhelming if you come to the end of your year, and if you've had a really good year, you may end up having to pay some taxes. Otherwise, in most cases, it'll probably just be like CPP that you have to pay out, which is, you know, maybe under $1,000 or something. So, yeah, paying taxes monthly is another good tip for managing taxes. Now, that's kind of what I do for getting ready for my tax time. And what I'm finding is just when you get to the end of the year, it's not a big deal because, like I said, you just sit down with your white envelopes, you tally everything up, and then I usually do it all in a summary spreadsheet for my accountant. I just summarize the entire year for sales, all the GST collected for from my sales, and then I summarize all the inventory purchased during that year. I think most of you guys know you have to keep your opening inventory from your previous year. That's the starting point. And then you would add any of the inventory that you've bought within 2008. And then lastly, you want to end in December by doing a physical ending inventory. So those things are very helpful for your accountant for completing taxes. was there any other area that you guys were a little bit unsure of or need more information on?
Could you go over the GSP again?
Okay. And Laura, feel free to jump in. My understanding of what I do for my accountant is you want to so for all of the sales of your product that you've sold to customers, you want to tally up all of that GST collected. Then for products that you have not collected GST on, I like to keep throughout the year a running total of what that is. So anything that I use personally, I pull off the shelf for personal use, I write that down. So the other day I wrote down those vitamin C capsules, but I got them on sale, so I did not write down $40. I wrote down $20, and then the GST amount on that $20 that I had to pay beauty control, but I have not collected back. I keep track on my Hostess, for my Hostesses, what I've given as gifts to them, because that, again, is GST I have not collected. So you just keep a tally of all the reasons when you're in a situation where you're not collecting GST, but you have paid that out. And then at the end of the year, you add up all of that amount of the GST that you have not collected. Then on your inventory that you get, you know, you get a receipt from Beauty Control each time you place an order, and they've already separated out the GST for you. So I tally that up as well as GST paid.
Okay.
And so maybe, Laura, I'll hand that now over to you as to what do you do with those totals when you have, as an accountant, so you have the total from sales collected, the total of GST not collected, I guess you could say, and then the total of GST paid.
Right. Well, okay, just to kind of go back in case, I know GST is kind of confusing, and I know I get messed up with it sometimes too, but basically, like, if we just look from the sales side, so from the sales or is like whatever the GST is that you collect, right? So if you earn $1,000, you're charging GST on that. So that's money that really does not belong to you. It is supposed to go back to the government, right? Because you're collecting it on the government's behalf. So instead of just paying, say, $1,000 to the government, well, you have a chance to reduce how much you owe the government, right? So one way is that you reduce your GST is through the GST that you've actually paid. So if you are buying something from Beauty Control, you're going to get charged GST on the full amount. So that whatever you pay there, you can take off to reduce what you have to give to the government, right? So say you buy a bunch of stuff and then you actually spend, say, $1,200 on GST during the year and you've collected $1,000. So that means that you'd get, like, that $200 difference back from the government at the end of the year. So the only thing is, though, from what you actually pay in GST, so whether it's stuff you buy from Beauty Control or if you're say going to the dollar store and stocking up on a bunch of things to give away to people. Some of what you've paid, like Allison said, would relate to, say, personal products, so like her vitamin C capsules. So, yeah, you want to figure out how much GST you actually paid on those items because you can't get that credit from those. So, really, I would just say, kind of like what Allison was saying, you just take all of your sales, add it up, figure out the total GST you collected, and give that to the accountant. And then if you're keeping track of everything else the way Allison said, so you have your expenses plus your GST, then the accountant can use that as well to kind of do the calculations for you. So I don't know if that makes sense, but let me know.
What about a consultant who's not in the leadership position, but purchases mostly for herself.
Mm-hmm.
So she doesn't sell any products. How does she go about getting that GST back?
Okay.
She's not going to go to an accountant.
Right.
There not forms to do that with the company?
Yeah, I don't know if Beauty Control has these forms. Like, definitely there are those GST forms you can just get off the government website as well. But, yeah, I kind of have to do the same thing myself. Does anyone have any other Has anyone else had to do this before or done a GST return not through what CD control set up?
Wouldn't she be able to just, so you're basically saying she's in it just to be kind of a wear and share girl, not really selling it, so she hasn't collected any of the GST from any of the purchases that she's made from Beauty Control?
Right.
Yeah, I think really actually that is just going to wash out anyways, because if you're, say if you buy $100 worth of products for yourself and so you get charged 5% GST on it, well, that you'd never really be able to claim that against the GST collected on sales because there isn't anything. So, I mean, that should just wash out. So, I mean, really, there's actually nothing you would actually have to do, because that's just the same sort of thing as if you go to a store and buy groceries, it's for yourself, and so you can't claim that GST back.
I've got a woman on my team who buys about $750 at a time. She doesn't sell anything. She gives it as gifts for her kids and her grandkids. And she pays she pays taxes on it, and she never gets anything back. How would she get it back?
You can only get back the GST on stuff that you're, like, against GST that you are collecting on behalf of the government. So,
okay, so the 7% tax she's got to pay anyway, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the same thing, like I said, if she goes to, Old Navy or something and buys clothes. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So now, it was funny when I volunteered to do this subject because I thought, well, gee, this could be a really in-depth kind of discussion, or it could be really kind of general. So I want to make sure that you guys are comfortable, though, with what we've covered. And then, of course, if there are any other holes that you're feeling, whether it's for yourself or for people who are on your team from questions that you've been asked, now would be the time to try to get those answered. So was there anything else that you can think that would be helpful, like in terms of systems? Is there anything else that anyone else is doing that might be helpful that they could share? Or
can I just ask one quick question on the
Sure.
GST? Now, what you're saying is that on the GST given as gifts to our hostesses, we're not calculating that as a deduction, or are we calculating that as a deduction? I understand the personal product. If we're using it for ourselves, we don't declare the GST on that and deduct that because that's a personal expense. But the gift is what I'm concerned about, not to our grandchildren or our family members, but unless, of course, they're holding a spa, they're a hostess. So what about to our hostesses then if we're giving gifts out? Do we deduct that GST off of the whole GST collected as a credit?
So with that one, because the whole thing is that you're basically incurring this expense for the purpose of earning income, right? So you're giving it to your hostess in hopes that it's going to motivate her, bring more people in, and everyone's going to buy more stuff and love the products you give. So in that case, you definitely can claim the GST that you paid on those products.
That's what I thought.
Okay. Whatever your sales are, yeah.
Okay, I was sure of that too, but I just wanted to make sure because there was kind of a conflicting explanation there.
Right, no.
That's perfect.
No,
okay.
That you have that correct, yeah.
Okay, good. Okay, thank you.
So then maybe I need some clarity then, Laura. So for myself, see, when I personally use products, okay, yes, I guess you could look at it as me just buying it like I'm buying from Old Navy, but I've always viewed that as almost like a research part of the job.
Yeah.
But you're saying that I can't do that? Like it has to be...
No, if it's only used for personal.
Really tricky.
But if it's used...
Sorry, Laura?
If it's used in a setting where that you share that product with your hostess or with your spas, then it's a tax write-off. But if it's exclusively personal.
If a new product comes out and you're just going to buy it just because you want to check it out, see if you actually like it or not, usually what I just called is a demo.
Right.
And then just, add it to things I'll give away or just, it'll get used up.
Exactly.
It's
how you word it.
But if it's instead after, you're like, yeah, I actually really like this product. And then, you go buy one for yourself and in that case. But I mean, yeah, of course, you can kind of, it's a demo. You're going to demo it yourself a bit too, but, you know.
I guess I just see that as such an important part of our business that if we're not using the products personally, we won't be good at this. Do you know what I mean?
But you've got to be careful of the wording on it. The wording is very important to the tax man.
Yes.
The tax man will hold you accountable if you use the word personal. If you use the word demo and you stick to that word demo, then you are allowed to write it off.
Yeah.
But if you use the word personal in any context, you will not be allowed to write it off.
Just one point may I make? Consumables are something that many businesses, there's all sorts of things that we go through in the course of our business that we write off. And under consumables, in some systems, there's a place for consumables. And so this product that we're using to try out and to try on other people and to demo, could not be considered a consumable?
But not the skincare and makeup that we use on a daily basis to look our best.
No,
yeah.
But I'm talking about trying new product yourself. Like we're kind of a canvas for our business. We're a walking billboard.
That's right. So that's what you classify it as. As long as you don't classify it as personal product.
Mm-hmm.
So even
yeah, I mean,
if we wear it out there for people,
if you're specifically
it
using it as a demo or as a consumable for the purpose of creating a business for it, yes, it's a deduction.
So when the product first comes in and we're going, oh, I'm going to see what this color looks like on me, other people are going to see it, they might like it, that's still where the demo part comes in, even though we're the one demoing it on ourselves personally. But we could take the very same product and demo it on someone else, of course.
Right. Like, I mean, as long as you're not just buying it, saying, oh, yeah, I like this stuff, and then stick it in your, you know, bathroom and just use it yourself all the time.
Or you better be pulling it out of your bathroom to use it at the
Yeah, this, I mean, this part gets hard, and I don't know exactly how picky, like, CRA is going to be about this. But, yeah, I mean, really for myself, I just usually say if I have never tried it before, I buy it for the first time, and then I'll just use it as a demo. And then if I like it and actually know I'm going to use it myself, then I'll just buy my own. So definitely the second time you buy it should be personal.
Okay. All right. Well, that's helpful.
Now, I might have a circumstance different than the others. I've been in this particular company for a while, and when I joined, I had to have a provincial, like a retail sales tax number. So when I do that process, I'm at the moment I'm paying double, but that's not an issue for here. What I'm after is if I personally am using something, I will then still need to pay the government the provincial sales tax based on the product that I'm buying for myself. Would it be like
right.
I'm almost making out a bill to myself and paying the appropriate taxes? Because I have to remit directly to the company or to the government because I have a retail sales tax number? That's
yeah,
too complicated.
I'm not as familiar with... well, because in Alberta we don't have to deal with that.
True.
So I don't know as much about that.
That's fine. I can certainly ask that question of someone else provincially.
Yeah, I don't want to steer you wrong.
So. No, that I appreciate that as well. So, but I understand what you've been saying already with directing people because they've already paid the tax on the full amount. And that's
mm-hmm.
why you're talking about the less figure. Like, you know, if we get the product in at half price and we've paid it in at the taxes out on at retail to the company, then obviously that's where you're talking about a credit back. But this question is very different than that, so I will go after a in Ontario bookkeeper
okay.
for that question.
Okay, thanks.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. You do have an advantage there, most definitely.
Well, it does make my life a little bit easier.
Oh, I think so. One tax would be great.
Yeah.
I'm just curious what kind of systems, for those, like let's say I think there's some that are DIQs on the call, what kind of systems do you already have in place for your sales and your expenses? also Melfa. Is there anything that you're doing currently to kind of manage your sales and your expenses?
No, I'm just a mass of confusion.
Okay.
I just have I have a great big fat book and I write everything down. I don't believe in pieces of paper because I lose them. So
right.
I just keep everything in a big fat book. And I really like the new book that the Beauty Control sent me for my planning calendar to keep my spas and everything intact, because it's just the greatest little calendar for the new year. But for expenses, I am going to go with Veronique's little accordion type thing, because I believe in them. I've used them for years and years just for household expenses, and I really like that idea. So that's what I'm going to do for 09. But I'm a fat book girl. That's what I do.
Okay.
Also, if people need access to free accounting books, H&R Block has a lot of books.
I have them, actually, and I've got, I've been giving them to my girls. I kind of been saying but not doing. I've been giving them to my girls, and they use them. But H&R Block is great. They hand them out wholesale, and they're wonderful books.
So what type of books are you talking about?
The H&R Block, they give you these nice books that give you spots to itemize, debits, credits, things you've sold, things you've got coming in. Yeah, they're great books.
Mileage log books, too.
Oh, yeah, log books, mileage books, household, phone, gas, mileage, everything. Your computer, your faxes, everything. And then you just take it all in, and my tax lady does it for me.
So they allow you to total it up on a daily basis and monthly basis?
Oh, yeah, yep.
Okay.
And then they just go in and they total it up, make sure you're correct.
Right.
But it makes it way easier, so that's what I'm going to do for 09 also. But I'll also have my paper stuff to make sure that I don't lose it in my accordion.
Mm. I like the envelope idea. I've been using file folders, but things can fall out the sides of the folders. The envelope, there's only one side for it to fall out instead of three. So I kind of like the envelopes idea. Plus, the envelopes can all go into a big file then for the at the end of the year, instead of me having to shove it, try to get all these more loose type of things. I usually staple them together by section, like by, you know, phone bill or whatever, but I think the envelopes might be a neat idea for it's all in there and it's totaled on the front. I don't really, unless I have to find something, go back into that envelope, really.
Yeah, and that was the point that Cindy, when she figured out this system, is she goes, I don't want to keep touching this paper more than once.
Yeah.
And so that's how she was able to devise an idea of just let's put it in and write the amount on the outside. And so then you don't have to go through it again.
Yeah.
I was like you too. I used to use filing folders, and it was just frustrating because, like you said, at the end of the year, when you're trying to get it all together, things were still kind of falling out and not very organized. So it's really easy to find stuff too, because especially if you include the year on the outside of the envelope, you can have everything just really organized and then one big elastic band around it all.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty easy to keep to store too.
But the envelopes will all be the same size. The papers inside might be different, but at least it would be consistent in that basis.
I don't know what kind of folders you're using, but the filing folders I have, the collapsible accordion, each have a snap where each folder closes, and everything stays inside. So you're not having to rifle through anything; it all stays in place. So you don't
I'm actually using just your basic file folder.
Oh, I see.
Schedule for each one. So that's what I was referring to. You know, there really are three sides it could fall out of.
Oh, okay. No, this is a really kind of a nice one where everything stays together. It each has its own little thing that closes.
So you're thinking more so for keeping track of your receipts with the accordion idea, right? But like your bills, like your phone and stuff won't fit in there too, will they?
It's actually quite large.
Oh.
Folders will fit in there, like the big envelopes, the big yellow envelopes.
Oh.
In the accordion
file.
Okay,
so then
you get the legal size or you get the letter size, either one, just like a file folder.
Yep.
Yeah. I've got a fair bit of stuff to keep track of, so...
And then you'd buy a new one every year.
Oh,
yes.
Definitely. I'm still not sure I could get everything in an accordion in itself, but I've got a file box right now, and I mean my books are still in. You know, when the accountant gets to them, they're in order and everything's totaled and all. But it's the behind the scenes that I wouldn't want someone to see, particularly with
any of us
that occurs in between different time frames. Again, because I have to remit directly to the government. because of the way I'm set up, that actually keeps me on track, because every 3 months the government wants some sort of money. So I actually must not wait till the end of the year to do my details. So it actually, okay. For me, I've got accountability 4 times a year at least.
In an accordion file, though, especially if you use a monthly one, 1 to 31, you're calculating every month what your expenses are and what your income is. You would understand at the end of every month what your taxes are, whether it is GST, PST, or income tax, or corporate tax.
Right.
An accordion file. And then you can take each of those days after you've separated your receipts up and put them in the envelopes on a monthly basis.
Correct. Yeah. And you'd have a much better idea of exactly where the money was coming and going from by doing it on a regular basis like that.
Exactly.
You'd literally be writing them down. Like, for example, if you were then putting them into an envelope after your accordion was for a month, for example, you'd see that, hey, I spent that last month. Now look at here, I'm writing this figure down this month. What's the difference here? What did I do differently? Why are the expenses higher? Why is the income higher or lower accordingly?
Yeah, you have your budget right on track at that point, and then you can decide where not to spend money.
Right.
If you're spending too much at Tim Hortons, or if you're spending not enough at Beauty Control.
Right. Too much on office supplies, not enough on actually being out there doing the spas.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You can really monitor your success that way.
Yeah. Good point.
All right. Does anyone else have any additional tips that they're finding really works well for them that would help us manage our taxes better? Is anyone paying their taxes? First I should ask, has anyone had to pay taxes based on their Beauty Control income?
The CPP at the end of the year, yes.
Okay.
It's a good thing to pay taxes because then you know you're making money.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not paying taxes, then you're not making enough money. You're not doing enough spas. You're not getting out there.
That's right. And especially, guys, as you get on into directorship and beyond, and when your commission checks are pretty much almost like salary coming in, it gets more important to set aside that 20%. Just automatically when you get that check, go, okay, 20% of this is not mine. I have to give it back to the government. And I've just found that right after I deposit it, I just go ahead and transfer that 20% off right away. And then it's gone. It's out of my sight. I don't have any other reason to use that money anywhere than where it's supposed to go. I know some people will suggest pooling the money in a separate account, which is fine until an emergency arises, and then all of a sudden you're thinking, oh, well, maybe I'll just use this and I'll reimburse it later, and maybe later never comes, and then end of the year comes and you're swamped with this ginormous tax bill. So, especially as you guys get on into directorship and beyond, you're going to want to establish that habit of 20% off all the time.
Another nice way to look at taxes, well, if you want to consider it nice, is that you've made $1,000. So you've got to pay $170. We'll round it off to $170 at 17%. That's pretty much the personal tax bracket, 17%. So $170 you put into the government account. That covers pretty much all your taxes. But you get to keep $830 to do whatever you want with it. The government doesn't touch the $830.
So you're saying we've made $1,000, the government's only asking for $170, the $830 is ours.
That's right. So if you look at it that way, instead of thinking, oh, I got to pay taxes, you think, okay, well, I give them their $170, I get to keep $830. $830 is mine to spend whatever way I want tax-free. Because I've paid those taxes. It's reverse psychology.
You know what?
It's what you get to keep.
I was just going to say, I love Canada, and especially the more I travel, the more I really appreciate Canada, and I have no problem paying taxes. We have a lot going for us, and yeah, so I don't have a problem paying taxes.
So you're paying your taxes, like you're paying that 20% that you're keeping, you're putting it right to the government.
Yes.
I'm not set up that way yet, so I'm thinking more so that I should be doing a separate savings account. So along the same idea, if I did $1,000 in sales and I can just take that $170 or a 20%, which might be easier, just plunk that into an account, and then when it is accountant time, then I've got that money just sitting there, right, ready to go. Here it is. Here the government can have it.
Right.
For that figure.
If you have the self-control.
I'm sorry?
If you have the self-control not to touch it in an emergency.
Well,
right.
It hasn't been controlled in the bank account that it's been in now. Like, you know, you always still have to look for it. So
right.
If I can just put it out of that account and just leave it alone, it might actually be a possibility.
Another good avenue that I've suggested to a lot of my clients over the years is bank drafts. You make a bank draft monthly, and it's made out to the Receiver General of Canada, so you can't cash it. Only the government can cash it. That money's locked in there. And if you want to keep your bank drafts for the whole year and at the end of the year send them all in, that is one way of keeping the money, government money, separate as well.
And I think I'd put it in a bank account. I wouldn't want to lose the draft.
And the draft is about...
Sorry, I just have a little situation there I wouldn't want to do.
Yeah, if you get a bank deposit box...
Yes, that would be the way to do it, yes.
Yeah, and then the $6.50 it costs for a bank draft is a tax write-off for the company, plus your $46 a year for your box, your safety deposit box, is also a tax write-off to the company.
Right. And there's no way you can touch that money because you put their name on the draft.
Exactly.
Not yours anymore.
The only time you'd want to reconcile that is at the very last in the December draft. You wouldn't want to make a December draft until you actually reconciled all the taxes monthly.
Yeah. But to have done 11 before is going to make a significant difference than being sitting there at the end of the year or in April going, I need the money for them and I don't have
it. That's right.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay.
That's for people who really need to have extra control of that spending habit.
Right. Neat idea.
I have a question about CPP. What if you think your expenses are going to be greater than your income? How much should you be putting aside for CPP?
If your expenses are greater?
You don't think you're going to really pay any income tax.
You're not going to pay any CPP either.
Okay.
You'd have a loss.
Yeah.
You only pay CPP or any tax on a gain.
Okay.
Laura, did you have anything else to add?
No.
Can I mention something about the CPP? If you don't pay something into CPP, even if you have experienced a loss, there is an issue that may come up if you ever need a disability or need to rely on that for any reason, should you become disabled. If you don't have some kind of insurance privately, you can't collect any kind of a disability from the government if you haven't paid CPP regularly.
That
doesn't matter if you've experienced a loss or not. It's good to cover your back that way.
Mm-hmm.
Pay
That's
something
true.
Anyways.
Then you'd look at the 50% of the population that can't collect disability anyways, even if they do have CPP. It's a catch-22 on that one.
And is that...
Yeah, something that I experienced in my family, so I just thought I'd give a heads up to anybody that might, you know, not be aware of that, that's all.
If I may just ask, with the CPP aspect, I mean, because we're self-employed, we're actually remitting it if we're making enough money. Is that where one of the disadvantages comes into play? Because we can't, we don't have an, quote, employer, it's a little bit harder to document some of these things because our incomes can fluctuate so much more easily?
Yeah, in my husband's case, he's self-employed. He has his own business, and he regularly paid into CPP for many, many years. But then when the accountant started getting fancy with depreciation costs on the equipment and different things to try to get him to pay less taxes like good accountants do, try to save you some money, right? There were a couple of years that he didn't pay any CPP, and he had done so all through his years of business. He had always done so, except for the last 2 years that he had filed his taxes. Now, he was in a situation where he did become disabled with a critical illness. He didn't have any private coverage for himself, and he applied to get a pension through Canada Pension. But because he hadn't paid into CPP for the last 2 years, it didn't matter that he had paid into it all his life. He couldn't get a disability. So just a heads up on that is all. Or private insurance is something that I really encourage any self-employed person to have. Disability insurance, accident insurance, something like that, right? Or critical illness insurance.
How much do you pay for that?
You can get basic coverages of insurance for critical illness is more expensive than just disability insurance that'll cover you for an accident. Any kind of accidental benefit, you can get them for quite cheap. In several places, you can get them for a real reasonable amount monthly. Critical illness insurance will be more expensive than just accident insurance. But it's sure well worthwhile when you find yourself in a position of needing it.
Okay. All right, you guys. Well, we're almost out of time here. Was there any other topic on taxes that we should cover that we haven't already discussed? You guys have been really helpful and very informative, I might add. So thank you for sharing.
For your CPP contributions, go to Schedule 8 in your tax package. That will explain all the CPP contributions on self-employment or other earnings.
Okay.
How do you determine whether or not you need an accountant? Like, should you tackle it yourself or should you just...
It's when you understand it. If you don't understand it, that's when you go to an accountant to have clarification.
And what kind of accountant should you look for?
If you have a simple return and you have earnings below, say, $20,000, which is $20,000 to $26,000 annually, is below the poverty line right now, you could probably go to an accountant or a student chartered accountant. That's somebody who's training at this, and they would give you accurate, up-to-date explanations on where your level is of income and expenses.
Do you recommend an accountant over a bookkeeper?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, accountant, bookkeeper, all a bookkeeper does is compile data.
Okay.
Or the accountant. That's what a bookkeeper does. They're very valuable,
okay,
but they don't know the legalities of accounting, of what Revenue Canada.
Okay. So I can be my own bookkeeper, and then, like I've been doing, and then just take it to my accountant, and he does the little total thingies and makes sure that I'm doing the things that I'm supposed to and won't allow me to do the things I mayn't and stuff like that.
I've been to both, and H&R Block has kicked butt on every accountant I've ever been to.
H&R Block can be good. I ran H&R Block here for quite a few years and was quite successful.
Maybe it's
However,
just the woman I have, but she has saved us money like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah, you be careful with whom you, like, make sure the first year you'll know for sure if they're saving you money or not.
If they understand
the taxation system and they have a good handle on it, yes, use them. Otherwise, that's what chartered accountants or CGAs, certified general accountants, are very good as well, extremely good.
Okay.
I think that one difference between, like, say, for example, H&R Block and actually going to a CA or CGA or someone like that is that generally I think H&R Block will just take the information that you give them and then just kind of figure out, like, put it where it needs to go and then kind of be done with it. So I think that sometimes, like, the actual CAs or CGAs will kind of look for other areas where maybe you didn't give expenses or things like that as well. So
that's exactly
the more analysis, maybe.
Yeah, I think so. And I'm not, like, I personally don't feel as comfortable with H&R Block just because of some experiences I've had. And, well, plus I can do these returns myself. So that makes it a bit different as well. But
it depends on how well-educated, so even self-educated that they've come, how much they've actually invested in learning about the taxation system.
I should probably qualify that because this woman owns the place and she has more letters behind her name than probably anybody, it's not the company,
so
it's actually
that's
her.
That's just not a regular taxation, H&R taxation person, and that's
not
a clerk.
Yeah, and I don't know what level of training people have to have in H&R Block, so that might be a good question to ask as well.
Exactly.
Well, the reason I was asking about the accountant compared to the bookkeeper, I find that some of the people I talk to, not with Beauty Control, but in general, my bookkeeper can save me on this and I can use this, and, you know, I'm looking at it going, my accountant won't let me use that. and things like that. So it's just a matter of my accountant knows full well that he's not letting me use this because it's really not allowed. Someone else is trying to be creative, and if you're ever audited, you're going to owe the money back. Whereas my accountant is saying, no, you really can't use that. We're not going to let you in the first place.
Yeah, and honestly, like, it's really good to have someone like that because you don't want to be ever red flagged by the government.
Yeah.
You know, because then anything you do, they're going to come after you and be questioning you all the time. Like, really, just claim what you actually are allowed to claim and just go from there, right? Like, I definitely don't promote being very, you know,
creative
with what you want. Claim what you can justify and basically... Just like what I always do for myself is before I claim anything, it's like, can I justify this to an auditor if I get audited?
Exactly.
And if you can, and there's no question about it, then sure, go for it. But
it's better to pay the $170 or $200 and keep the $830 and not worry about it.
That's right. Sleep well at night.
Yep, pretty much.
All right. Well, you guys have been really helpful in. And thank you so much for sharing all of your wisdom because it sounds like we have a lot of great experience on the call here today, too. So thanks for that, guys. And also thank you to Laura Neufeld, who she is actually an accountant who has been working for the past couple of years. And so thank you for your time to help us figure all this tax stuff out. But
thank you.
In interest of time, just in interest of time, we are done. We're at 8 o'clock already. So, again, thanks, guys. And I hope this was helpful. And that you can take it back to your teams and share it with them so that they can hopefully get some more insight on this whole tax topic.
Well, thanks, Allison. Thanks, Laura.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
Bye, Rocky. Bye, Rhonda. Bye, Sue.
Bye, Melissa.
Bye, girls.
Bye, Linda.